Thank you for the invitation to join you again. The background title to this series is Who Do You Think You Are? And when I was informed the subject for this morning and told that we were sheep, I didn't think that was very flattering. I don't know what your thoughts are about sheep, but I tend to think them as rather mindless creatures that easily get lost. I well remember once climbing in Snowdonia in the Devil's Kitchen, which is a big cliff, and there's like a sort of a pathway up the side of it. And I looked up, and there was a sheep that had, I don't know how it had got there, it was like a grassy tuft just at some distance below the summit of this 300, 400 foot wall. And there it was on this grassy tuft. I don't know what happened to it, but it certainly looked in a pretty precarious position, and I didn't see it landing down below me. One of the things that the Bible says very clearly about us, that God says about us, is that we're lost. And it tells us that we've all gone astray. Each of us is turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's actually where we started with communion, and in a sense this is a recap on communion. It's easy to look out on society and see the disruption and see the way it seems to be a lost society, but sometimes it's harder to recognize our own lostness and to accept that we've messed up, that we are lost, and that we need God's handling in our lives. But if we've come to that place this morning, then there is someone who is looking for us and wants to restore us to the way he intended us to live in the wholeness of life. And I don't know whether you noticed in our reading, the very last verses where Jesus is speaking and he says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Those are incredibly powerful words. These are unique words. There is no one else who has that authority. And as we said in communion, Jesus is the one who came to seek and to save those who are lost, those who are willing to recognize that they need him. And I don't know where you stand this morning, but if that's a description of your life, I've messed up, I've left God out, I feel lost, then this morning Jesus says to us, I'm here, and I have a way to restore you as God wants your life to be, through his death and through his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, he can change things. But the message isn't all negative about sheep. Sheep follow the shepherd. And I remember, again, we were walking once along the Cornish cliffs some years ago, and we turned inland over a headland, and we were hiking with our boots on and our rucksacks, and we looked round, and suddenly we were aware of a presence. And as we turned round, we saw a whole scores of sheep closing in on us and following us in a sort of dogged way, if sheep can do that in a dogged way. And what we realized was, of course, they thought we were the farmer coming with the food. It was wintertime. And they were following us very closely. It was almost a bit sort of frightening, even though we knew they were only sheep, but they were right behind us. Following us. And that's our first lesson from sheep this morning. If you've come to know the shepherd, then he calls us. Let's see if we can get ourselves working. He calls us to follow him. Ah, there we go. Whoops. One too many. Where do I need to point this? Yep, that's what I'm trying to... Oh, there we go. Follow the shepherd. Got to get used to my little bit of technology and learn his ways. Jesus' message from the very beginning wasn't come and get saved and go to heaven. It was follow me. Follow me. And he invites all of us here this morning to follow him. And that means learning his ways. Reading his word is probably the main route in which we learn his ways. And I would encourage all of us to regularly go back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where he lays down the principles of his kingdom, how we are to live his ways. Because there are very challenging words there that none of us, I'm sure, fulfill totally. But it keeps a challenge alive in our lives. He calls us to follow him. But we read also, there we go, we're getting better. He calls us to listen to him. And that came three times in that passage as we read, my sheep know me, they hear my voice. In verses 3, 4, and then I think again in 16. Jesus is a living Savior. And by his Holy Spirit, he wants to speak into our lives. Now, it's very easy as a Christian to just go according to the good principles of being a Christian. But that often is not very much different from being a polite Englishman or English lady. But God is calling us to a dynamic relationship with him. And he wants us to learn to hear his voice, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if I can put a challenge. When was the last time you felt that God really spoke into your heart? It might be in terms of direction in something that you had to do in your life. Or probably more frequently, pointing out something that we need to work on, some change that needs to happen. Are we being grumpy? Are we complaining? Are we moaning all the time? These were actually serious sins for the people of Israel before Jesus ever came. He took these things very seriously. And yet we tend to often think, well, that's just the way I am. God is calling us, perhaps in a fresh way, to ask him, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What does your spirit have to say? He's calling us to a dynamic relationship. Well, that's just two things, and they're very close together, about sheep. But it's also about the shepherd and how we relate to him. The Bible is full of shepherds. It was written in a large part to a rural culture. And so the picture of sheep and lambs and shepherds comes very frequently. Abraham was a shepherd. At least he owned an awful lot of sheep. I don't know whether he actually looked after them. But Jacob, who became Israel, was also a shepherd, or a goatherd at least. He looked after large numbers of goats. Moses was also a shepherd. He spent a third of his life in the desert, wandering around looking for little bits of grass amongst the rocks and the sand to feed his sheep. And David, too, was a shepherd. Do you remember? He was called from looking after the sheep to be anointed by Samuel as the next king. Shepherding in the Bible is a rather humble task. It's not a very highly rated task. In fact, today in Turkey, and I think probably in most Middle Eastern countries, a shepherd is regarded as the bottom rung of society. It's a humble task. And that's all makes it all the more interesting that God is described as a shepherd. In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, it says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. And then, of course, David talks about the Lord, God, being his shepherd. And then we had this morning in our reading, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. the I am being that word of God. And then that humble role, a shepherd. And those verses, those lovely verses in Matthew where Jesus says, come and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart that we need to learn. Oh, thank you very much. Bless you. That's the invitation. If we're going to follow Jesus and listen to him, then all the time, the heart of Jesus is what we're aiming for. And we've said it once, but let me repeat. That process doesn't stop in our lives. If you've been following Jesus for a few years, or 10, or 20, or 30, or 40, or 50, we don't give up. We don't stop learning. I think I came to faith 68 years ago. You can work out roughly how old I am. And I've still got a lot of issues to work. In fact, the issues seem to increase the older I get. Because in some ways, our character starts to harden as we get older, and it's harder to really be open to what God wants to change in us, that we might be more like him. In fact, that came well in our hymn, didn't it? So let's move on to what the... we get the right bit in a minute. It's a matter of pressing the right place. Oh, there we go. The shepherd. The shepherd cares. Do you feel that God cares? That he cares for you? One of the strongest themes of the Bible and of the Old Testament is that God is faithful. He's a God of covenant. He's committed to his people. And that is true of God. And yet at the same time, like a shepherd in the Middle East, he lets his sheep go their own way. He doesn't force them. He may have a plan for our lives, but he doesn't force that plan upon us. In fact, he goes ahead in the Middle East. In England, we tend to drive them in front of us, but he goes ahead and he allows the sheep to follow, but he doesn't force them to follow. And that addresses one of the issues that I think many thinking people in society today have. Why does God allow so much to go wrong? Why doesn't he interfere more? And that's a conundrum that we can't fully solve, but it seems very clear from the very beginning of creation that when God created people, his desire was that they might willingly, from their hearts, respond to him. And if he was constantly interfering in society, in science, if you like, and making miracles happen all the time, there would no longer be any freedom. We would become robots. And so as we look out on the Middle East and all the horror, as the human heart, which has good potential, but we see also the massive potential for evil too, we have to say, does God care? And as Roz was saying just a few moments ago, God is doing amazing things. Right across the Middle East, in Algeria, in Egypt, in Iran, and in northern India, even in Saudi Arabia, the news that is filtering through all the time is that there is an unprecedented response to the gospel. I don't know whether you know of Sat7, which is a Christian TV channel that beams right across the Arab world. They are just seeing amazing things happening. And I don't know whether that news is reaching you. But God isn't crashing in, but he's using the turmoil and even the evil of man to touch human hearts, that many who before would never have even considered his ways are thinking for the first time, and many are turning and finding him. If we go back to the Old Testament, there was a time when Israel itself, when Israel itself was in a pretty miserable situation. God's people were in Egypt, they were in slave labor, they were being beaten regularly day by day, they had their babies killed, and it was a pretty grim situation. And that went on for quite a long time. And I'm sure many of those people in those days said, where is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the creator God? Why isn't he doing something? And we get these verses at the beginning of Exodus. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant, his faithfulness with Abraham. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. God does feel for us in our trials, in our struggles, in our battles with emotional issues, with relational issues, with health issues, economic issues, the things that tend to weigh heavily upon us. He does care. And if you're struggling today with something that is burdensome, and probably most of us are in different ways and to different degrees, know that Jesus cares. He cared enough to send the Lord Jesus to give his life for us. He cared that much. And we would love just a sort of miraculous snap of the fingers and everything to be solved. And sometimes we have to go through that channel of suffering. But the way we respond under those conditions is so crucial, because that can be the difference between life and death. We can be people of Jesus who, in those difficult circumstances, are still trusting him, still loving him. That is a powerful statement in the unseen world, and God will use your right response to difficult circumstances very powerfully. Why does the world roll on with so many difficult things? We don't know. We wish that we knew God's timetable, but God is in the process of getting to his target, which is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God as Jesus returns. We don't have to stay as sheep. It's actually not the picture of sheep and shepherds, it's the picture of children, which is last week's subject. But there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. God is calling us to grow up, to become mature. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily age. You can be mature after months in the faith, and you can be immature and you've been on the faith road for 30, 40, 50 years, because we haven't been listening to the shepherd and we haven't been learning his ways. We've just rumbled on in our old pattern of life. God has a purpose for us, and that is that we grow up into Christ. He wants us to become more like him, in fact, to become a shepherd. Sheep can become a shepherd. I wonder what sort of responsibility you're carrying. Obviously, all of us are very different in our what God has given us, the capabilities that he's given us, but whatever that is, he's calling us to be people who carry responsibility. A shepherd cares. Who are you caring for? It's not only the responsibility of the leaders of the church to care, it's each of our responsibility. And so I wonder, who do you ring up? Or you ever ring up anybody? Or if you're young, who do you message? Are you caring for someone? It would be wonderful if, as a result of this morning, each of you here who know the Lord Jesus could take on one or two other people that you would regularly or from time to time make some contact with and say, how are you doing? How are you coping with that health situation or with that problem? Can we pray together? That's the heart of a shepherd. And God is inviting each of you, and I myself included, in our daily life, to be those who are caring. Is that visible up there? It's getting a bit faded for me from here. This is a verse from Peter's letter, which was written to the churches in what's today central Turkey, Galatia. And he says, be shepherds of God's flock. Now, this was addressed to church leaders primarily, but it does apply to all of us. Be shepherds of God's flock, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not, what does that say? Let me read around here. Not pursuing dishonest gain. So not being materialistic. That's a challenge for us today, isn't it? Because that is the thing that sweeps us along. And it's so hard not to get drawn into that sweep. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a modern gadget, but let's beware of just always having to have the next new thing for the sake of it, because that's the materialistic spirit. Not pursuing dishonest gain, well, certainly not dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to us, but being examples. So here's the picture of a maturing Christian that God wants each of us here to be. Not sheep, but people who are beginning to be shepherds. Caring, not being materialistic, not being bossy, but serving, willing to serve. And as we follow that course, and it'll be somewhat different, I'm sure, for each one of us here this morning, as we follow that course, our very lives become a witness. Our very lives become a spiritual statement to the world outside. We may not always have the opportunity to talk about Jesus in the sense of witnessing, but not infrequently, the different way we behave may give us opportunities to do that. Do we thank the nurse who was so kind and helpful in the clinic at the hospital? Or the doctor who took the time to listen? Or the lady at the cashier at the supermarket? In so many ways, there are opportunities for us to be different, to be light, to be serving, to have a different quality of life. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be maturing people, shepherds in his kingdom. Lord Jesus, I often think what it's like for you. We know that you're here by your spirit, and yet you're just beyond sight in that other world that you came and went to when you were in your resurrection phase. And we address you together this morning as a group of people of many ages and many situations. And we ask you by your Spirit to teach each of us what you want to say to us. Help us to hear your voice again. Help us to be more active in learning your ways. Help us to be people who care, people who are not driven by the spirit of this age, but in a good way, a lively way, represent you to this world. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.